Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to meditate today on our gospel reading from John chapter 14, and the theme of the sermon is what the world can't give. Let's pray. Gracious Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Don't ask me to sing it by myself, but you know how it goes now. I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Scripture is very clear that there are certain things in life that we cannot access anywhere else or through anyone else but by our faith in Christ as Lord. People allude to this, and I hear people allude to this when they say things like, I'm not sure how I would get through this without my faith. Or I'm not sure how people without faith, where they turn for hope. Or I'm not sure how I would make sense of any of this without my Christian beliefs. People are alluding to the fact that there's something the faith gives them, there's something God gives them that they just can't access, they just can't find anywhere else. I was at our district pastors conference during the week, and one of the things that happens at district pastors conference is we get addressed by the bishop of our district, Bishop David Altus. When Bishop David Altus started speaking, he began by talking about what he called the growing disillusionment he sees in our world. And he said he sees people being disillusioned with almost everything, with their leaders, with their politicians, with their institutions, with their relationships. And I thought, David, this isn't the most encouraging address I've ever heard. But as he went on, he got to his point. And his point was that the growing disillusionment of the world presents an incredible opportunity for the gospel of God's grace. That we have people in our world who are thirsty for meaning, for purpose, for hope, for peace, whatever you might call it, and that we have a gospel, a message that can speak into that thirst, that can show people where they can go to fill that thirst. In today's text, Jesus outlines at least three things, probably more than three, but we'll stick with three for today, that the world can't give and the world can't take away. And the ones I want to talk about are His precious word, His powerful spirit, and His profound peace. His precious word, His powerful spirit, and His profound peace. The reading begins like this. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" This Judas is distinguished, interestingly, in the text, from his more infamous namesake, from Judas Iscariot. It's like if a parent was introducing their son and they said, "No, it's not the banker, it's not the teacher, you know, no, it's not the plumber, it's the other one, the other boy." Right? But in this situation, it's a positive comparison. This is not Judas Iscariot. Now, that probably means that it's Judas, the son of James, who was also an apostle of Christ. There were two Judases in the company of the apostles. This is the other one, all right? And his question to Jesus is this: Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? It's a very important, very poignant question that this Judas asks. It's along the lines of, why us but not them? Why some but not others? Why do some people believe and others don't? Why do some people seem to have more opportunity to believe and others don't? What about the world? Judas wants to know. Why would God reveal Himself through Christ to a select group of people in a particular time, in a particular place, and not just en masse to the world? Why? Judas wants to know. That question sets the scene for everything that follows. So it's important we hear it. It's important we know what Judas is getting at. Now, Jesus begins his response in this way. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. It's as if Judas is saying to Jesus, look, what are you going to do about the world? And Jesus says back to Judas, no. What are we going to do about the world? What are we going to do? And Jesus says the first thing he does is to give us his word. His word. Law and gospel. The word of God. The communication of God with his world. You know, the writer of Hebrews says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. St. Paul says this word is inspired by God. He says it can make us wise unto salvation. This all-important word of God. Now, Jesus says quite simply today, what are you to do with the word? You're to keep it. That means to observe it. It means to listen to it. It means to guard it and watch it. It means to treasure it, to see that it's something important and precious worth holding on to. It's as though he's saying to us, you want to reach the world? Start by reaching for your Bibles. Start by hearing God speaking to you so that you will know how to speak into the situations in which you find yourself. Jesus wants us to hold on to this word, to treasure it, to keep it, to listen to it. He says, when you do that, the Father and I are going to come and we'll live with you. We'll reside where you reside. We'll be where you'll be. Your words will become our words. Your will become our will. And we'll be at work in and through you. When people look at you, they're going to see me. So how do we do it? How do we keep the word of God? We keep it by keeping on reading it, keeping on listening to it, keeping on treasuring it, keeping on hearing it, keeping on studying it, by keeping on with it. Maybe by questioning it a little less and letting it question us a little more. Maybe by critiquing it a little less and allowing it to critique us a little more. By hearing the word of God challenge us, inspire us, lead us, encourage us. But we need to have open ears if we're going to hear that word and keep that word. Jesus says, when you hold this word close to your heart, you hold me close to your heart. That's why it's so important that we do. So his precious word. Secondly, his powerful spirit. Now, the Spirit of God is quite clearly, I think, a gift that the world can't give and the world can't take away. The Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God comes to us as we hear that Word of God. When you sit and listen to Bible readings or when you listen to a sermon being given, it's not just people talking. If it is, you have every right to switch off, you have every right not to turn up or go to sleep or whatever you want to do. But if this is the Spirit speaking, if God has a message for you here, that's another matter. The Spirit of God is powerful and the Spirit of God comes to you through listening to his word. And Jesus says this Spirit is our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. Literally, he says, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside you. That's what the word means. The Spirit is the one who comes alongside you. You think of the power of having a person alongside you. Right? You're there in the hospital room. You've got someone with you. You're there in the doctor's room hearing some bad news, but you've got someone with you. You're there in a courtroom, right? But you've got someone alongside you speaking up for you or there to comfort you. Jesus says, my spirit is alongside you, your advocate, your comforter, your counselor. That's who the Spirit of God is and wants to be for you. How? Jesus says the Spirit's going to come and he's going to teach you everything and he's going to remind you of everything I've already said to you. In other words, the Spirit is the one who brings to mind what we already know, what we've already been told, but we need to be reminded of. God says, that's my Spirit at work, reminding you, teaching you, encouraging you to walk the path you already know how to walk because I've already told you. That's the Spirit of God. When our spirits are restless, when our spirits are conflicted, when our spirits are troubled, the Spirit of God comes to create rest, to create calm, to create hope. Yes, Scripture says that the Spirit of God will come and convict the world of sin, and it needs to do that. It needs to convince us of where our lives are off track. But ultimately, the goal of the Spirit is to assure us of the grace and mercy of God in our lives, to give us a message that the world can't give, because the world can convict us of sin. Not always in a helpful way, but it can try. The Spirit tries to do that in a more accurate way and then says, but ultimately I want to guarantee you that your God is gracious and merciful and just and forgives you for all this. That's the work of the Spirit as well. The Spirit of God comes into our temporal problems and situations and brings an eternal perspective and a wisdom that we can't get anywhere else, a wisdom that we need to navigate the challenges of this world. God says, I give you my Spirit. I give you my Spirit. The third and final gift of God that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away flows from His Word and it flows from His Spirit, and Jesus describes it simply as peace. Peace. It's a profound peace. It's a very deep peace. It's a holistic peace. It's a peace, firstly, between us and God. Firstly, it's the vertical dimension, and secondly, it's the horizontal dimension, the peace that overflows into our lives and creates peace between us and one another, and us and the world in which we live. The peace of God. This is both a gift to us and it's a task for us. It's something God says, you have it, it is yours. Your Father is at peace with you, and you can be at peace with Him. But it's an ongoing effort as well to make sure that this peace we have now received is on show in our lives and at work in our relationships. Because we can so easily miss the way that vertical dimension flows into the horizontal dimension and makes peace between us and others. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. I hear Jesus saying here that many things will try to trouble your hearts in this world and many things will make them afraid in some way. And Jesus says, do not let them. Do not let them. Do not give them an opening, right? Do not give them an audience. Cut them off at the pass. Stop them before they take root. Turn off the TV, switch off the computer, turn down the radio, whatever it is, wherever those messages are getting into your head and your life, you're not good enough, you don't do enough, you'll never make it, right? You'll never be enough. Jesus says, do not let it get into you, right? This is the message of the world. It's the message all around us, and it's the message we so quickly believe about ourselves. And God says, no, I want to create peace in your lives. The gift that God comes to bring is a gift that we don't find anywhere else. It's a gift that only He can give. Jesus says to you, look, maybe you're not enough, and maybe you don't always like who you are, and maybe you're not always what you wish you could be, but your peace resides in the fact that I am, and that I have come from the Father to be everything you could not be. And I have come from the Father to give you everything you otherwise would not have. And I have come from the Father to work His grace in your life. This creates peace, right? When we rely on someone outside ourselves, more trustworthy than ourselves, who has accomplished far more than we ever could alone. Matthew Henry, famous Bible commentator, writes, "The peace Jesus gives is of such a nature that the smiles of this world cannot give it and the frowns of this world cannot take it away." He must have known that song, right? The smiles of the world can't give it, the frowns of the world can't take it. It runs deeper than that. Tim Keller, pastor from the US, says, "The world's peace comes only by closing its eyes to the truth. The Christian's peace comes by opening our eyes to the truth of God." Friends, God has so much that He wants to give you in your life, so much that he wants to bless you with, so many things that the world can't give you and the world can't take from you. This is just the tip of the iceberg. His precious word, his powerful spirit, his profound peace. But until we come to these and receive these and rejoice in these, then the others don't flow into our lives. May God continue to come to you, and may his peace, which is beyond our human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus promises us a peace which the world cannot give. And sometimes we find that peace hard to find, hard to access. And yet you continue to offer it to us through your word, your spirit, your community here, the church, your gifts, baptism, communion, many other means you use to work peace in our lives. Father, continue to come alongside us through your Holy Spirit to create peace among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.